Good evening. This is the City of Morro Bay Recreation Parks Commission meeting on Thursday, January 16th, 2025. And we are in the Morro Bay Vets Hall on Surf Street. What we want to do first is a moment of silence, is it? Thank you. I probably should have declared that we have a quorum. All people are here today. Ms. Fazio, nice to have you back. Good. And so we have that. Public participation is public participation. Oh, yeah, that's what I was looking for, down here. Okay. Drew, would you
Please
like to do the honors?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thank you all. Okay. Announcements and presentations. Are there any, Mr. Carmichael?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, we do have a few announcements. We'll go ahead and start off with the slideshow. I think we will. While we're figuring out our slideshow, I'd like to go ahead and announce that that we had received from our Community Foundation of Estero Bay for the first and second quarter of fiscal 2025, $18,608. Pretty much right on par with what we typically receive from the foundation. Anywhere between 30 and 40,000 is typical for annual, and this is then to support youth who cannot afford to participate in our programs. So with that, we will turn this over to the slideshow, and our first one up is our 55 plus health and wellness fair. That is set for this upcoming January 25th. It's a Saturday, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., right there in the Morro Bay Community Center / Senior Center. Look forward to having you there. There's over 30 health and wellness exhibitors on hand. It's a fun morning. It's packed with a lot of information, so I encourage folks to come on out for that.
Good evening, commissioners. I just wanted to share our winter class schedule. We have a variety of classes offered Monday through Friday, some in the morning, some in the afternoon. We've added a couple new morning classes, which is a really, it's great for the different demographics that we have. So please come in out and join. It's a $6 drop-in for each class. What a deal. Then I also wanted to talk about a new class we're offering. It's been about a year, but I think it was a slow start. And this is our arts and crafts class. It's taught by teacher Kendra Bowling. She has taught around the county, but she does recreation art classes. And they meet once a week. They do different sessions. And each week, they focus on one single art project. And the kids get to do that whole thing, then take it home. So we are encouraging families, especially of the younger age, to sign up and get their kids there. I just wanted to share this cute picture collage of our kids' night out that we had in December, just because I know you don't get to attend them, but I wanted you to see how fun they are. This one was their pajama party where they decorated cookies, played bingo, they had breakfast for dinner because it was a pajama party, and they are just so much fun, well attended. And then I'll tell you about our next one coming up in February, on February 14th. So parents can drop their kids off for $25 and get amazing childcare, dinner, and activities and crafts, and the kids have so much fun. And then I know winter break just ended, but we also have spring break coming right around the corner. So this is our spring camp that we will be hosting. This is our third or fourth a year, I can't remember, where we host a brick challenge, which is also known as Legos, but we refer to them as bricks. And it's this is a like sought after camp because everybody loves to build and do that. So we opened registration a month earlier than we normally do because our last holiday hangout maxed out. I mean, we had more than we probably could have taken. So we have it open extra.
We also have here our aquatic program schedule for the winter spring period, January through through May. Our standard programming pretty robust as usual with lap swimming, morning master's swim, aqua aerobics, swim lessons, and our popular junior guard boot camp. And that program is set as designed to really keep kids in the water swimming and active in preparation for our summer junior lifeguard program. So we found that to be very helpful. It's tough to jump in the water after, you know, not swimming for a few, you know, for half of a year or more, and then expect to, you know, perform well out on the beach. So it's a popular program. We're proud of that one. Also, we've got our Coast Girls Softball Program register now for the 2025 season. Opening day is set for March 15th. So get your child registered if they're not yet. And also going to launch our spring co-ed softball. Monday nights at Lila Kaiser Park, register your team today. And that completes our announcements. I'll send that back to you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Do you have anything you'd like to add? Thank you.
Lots is going on for all ages. Our next order is the Morro Bay Senior Citizens Liaison Report. Mr. Drew Sedaris, I believe that's you.
Yes, good evening. Thank you. Well, again, mostly they just want us to work on getting some pickleball courts, more pickleball courts. They're doing really well. Especially with their bingo. They do a great job with bingo, apparently. And I think they're also trying to figure out how they can possibly help with Adopt-A-Park. So that's what they've been up to on our end. And that's about all. Thank you.
So we can talk more about that when we come to that agenda item.
Yes, we can.
Great, great. Thank you. Next item is public comment. I see a number of people in the audience, so there must be people that want to get up and speak. The way it works is that you come up to the podium. If you want to, you can tell us your name. You have 3 minutes to speak. Do we have a clock for them, or we do? Okay. So you can tell when it's time. So whoever would like to be first, you're welcome.
Hello again. I'm Rich Robb. And, you know, I'm here about pickleball. One of the things I noticed last week when I stayed for the whole meeting was that you guys are very concerned about what's going on at all the parks. And you replace used equipment when it's bad and stuff like that. And when we do progress and get the 4 more pickleball courts, that is something you will not have to worry about because we maintain the courts ourselves. We've refurbished the courts 3 times that I know of. And it cost $30,000 this last time, and we covered it. You just have to get approval in order to do things. And I just found out before the meeting that pickleball isn't on the agenda yet. And so I'll be back next month. But the other thing is, yeah, well, I guess that was it pretty much. And as far as placement of the basketball courts, I'd like to see the city take the responsibility for the cost of moving it. And just a caveat, when it rains down there at Del Mar Park, everything floods. The pickleball courts flood, the basketball courts flood, everything floods. So moving it to another flood zone, I don't think is an issue. And there's some places, if you use the, I call it the amphitheater. If you fill in the amphitheater a little and do a little grading as far as when you put in the basketball court, it'll run off and it won't even be a problem, be better than where it is now. And the only reason I want to keep the courts where they are is it's a community, and that's what you guys are about. You're about community, and we want to keep that cohesiveness. I have people come from all over the county, all over the state, all over the nation, and they say it's the friendliest place, one of the 10 best friendliest places to play. And that's because we're all there, we sit, and we talk in between games. There's more to pickleball than the game itself. And let's see, did I get everything? Probably not. And I'm going to mail Bill a vision of our, we have an engineer that designed an outlay on how it would all work and where everything would go. And so I'm going to send it to Bill and anybody else that would want it. And he'll send it, contact him, and he'll send it on if you don't already have it. Thank you.
Thank you. For clarification, I believe the bill he's referring to is Mr. LeFay, who is our city council liaison. Is there anyone else that would like to speak? You're just here in support of, yes, please.
Good evening. My name is Vladimir Kravchinsky, and I'm a Morro Bay resident. I live in the city for about 6 years, and very happy to be here. I'm also one of the pickleball players. On every given morning in Delmar Park in the pickleball courts, we have between 30 to 50 people. We can play only 4 courts, a lot of people waiting. And as Rich said, when we wait, we talk to each other. We communicate. We try to establish community, and we have a community of pickleball players. It's not only good for us, it's also good for the city of Morro Bay. Pickleball is the fastest growing sport in America. We have millions of people playing pickleball. I'm also one of the volunteers on the courts who wash the courts, and we wash them, and we're using our funds that we collect. What we're asking you for, more courts, what is gonna do for the city of Morro Bay? We have tourists coming from all over the place. Today it's so easy. You just put pickleball in the neighborhood and Morro Bay courts come out. Our courts is the nicest and friendliest from all the courts that I play, what just Richard said. So when people come to us, they stay at our hotels. They buy grocery from our store. They go to our restaurants. It's helped our community and it's helped city of Morro Bay. So I'm asking you for more courts. We can maintain courts ourselves, but it's give us opportunity to play, and especially for senior citizens like us. We have community, we talk to each other, we try to help each other, we try to support each other. So it would be really nice if we can get more courts. Okay, thank you very much. And we hope we have the pickleball courts on next agenda. And hopefully we get more people. Thank you.
You're welcome, and I'm sure we will do that at the end of the meeting, get it on the agenda. Any other takers? Yes, please.
I think they need to draw it down closer.
Yeah.
Yes. Hi, I'm Diane Borgatti, and I'm a resident in Morro Bay. I just wanted to add my little personal 2 cents worth. I've just been here for a couple years now, and I moved here with knowing nobody. And the way I met people was on the pickleball court. And I have a bunch of friends now, and it's just been really amazing for me to meet this community. And this was the best way that I could find to meet people. I didn't even know how to play pickleball that well, but it was great. And from everything I've read, one of the biggest problems that seniors have is social. And if they're not social, they get very isolated, and then their health fails. So I think this is just a great opportunity to improve the seniors' health while having a fun community. But we definitely need more courts. So thank you.
Thank you. Is there another person before we close public comment? Okay, thank you all for showing up. And we'll close public comment, and we'll ask any of the commissioners if they have a response they'd like to make, or we'll just wait till wait till future agenda items, okay?
Okay,
good, thank you. So the next thing on our agenda is our consent, which is the two meetings that we have the minutes for to approve. I have a correction on the July 18th, 2024. We would like to show that Ms. DeFazio was not in attendance. So if we could remove her name, and we can adopt that particular minute as amended. Does anybody want to move the amendment or the adoption of that?
I make the motion to accept that amendment.
I second.
Okay. All in favor of approving the minutes as amended?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. And then for our for November 21, 2024, for those minutes, under the item where we were talking about the bylaws, one change in the bylaws was mentioned, which was the title of our manager being the one who does the work. It's on the last page. But there were two other items that we adopted that night and like to be reflected in the minutes. And that was that, how come I can't find it? Oh, that every time we talked about the word advisory board or body, we had agreed that we wanted the word commission or commissioners inserted. So we would like that change made in the minutes or in the bylaws before we send them on to the city manager. That was the second thing. And then the third thing was the title of the document itself, which currently is advisory boards or advisory bodies. And since commissions are slightly different with different authority than the bodies, that and not just for the Parks and Rec Commission, but also for the Planning Commission, that we would like to have or suggest to the City Council that they change the title of the document to advisory bodies and commissions. Is everyone okay with that amended meetings if we add those two items? Because we had approved them previously?
Yes.
Okay. So who would like to move that?
I will move that. I move that we change these items on the amendments as you suggest.
Okay. So we'll have the and the second?
I'll second.
And Mr. Constanzo will second. Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Thank you. It was unanimous. Okay, we're moving from our consent calendar. We have no public hearings. We have would like to change item C9, which was an emergency addition to our agenda. It just showed up through the City Council on Tuesday, and they've asked us to appoint a person. We have Mr. Erlen Singwald from staff with us, who is going to be in charge of this committee, and I believe he probably wants to do a presentation or a saying.
Yes, thank you. So I'm Erlen Singwald, your community development director. Good evening, Chair Windholtz and commission, and thank you for entertaining this emergency item. And the emergency item is really out of the ordinary, but I think having this meeting just 2 days after the City Council formation of the Waterfront Master Plan Advisory Committee is really going to help us get an early start on the Waterfront Master Plan. So the purpose of this item is for the Recreation and Parks Commission to appoint one of your members to serve on the Waterfront Master Plan Advisory Committee. This item was added to the agenda as an emergency item. There is a requirement. So this is going to be a two-part item. The first part, the commission will need to vote to make findings. There's a 4/5 vote required in order to allow for this emergency item to proceed. The required findings are, one, that there is a need to take immediate action, and two, that the need for action came to the attention of the city after the agenda was posted. Staff recommends the commission make these findings and hear this item based on the following facts. One, the city's $750,000 grant to fund the Waterfront Master Plan update has a 2-year time frame, so the sooner we get started, the better in order to keep it on track. Two, the Waterfront Master Plan update cannot begin until the Waterfront Master Plan Advisory Committee, which I'm going to refer to as the WAMPAC, is selected. And three, again, the council just approved the composition of the WAMPAC on Tuesday, so we weren't able to add this to the Rec and Park Commission agenda any earlier. So I'm going to pause now and wait for a 4/5 vote to proceed.
Okay. Would anyone like to make that motion that we... I'm seeing buttons pushed on both sides.
Go ahead.
I move that we approve the agenda items as an emergency item.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second that motion.
Drew seconds that. I'm going to just do a voice vote. I think that will be sufficient. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. It passed unanimously, 5-0.
Excellent, thank you. So I'm going to continue with some background about the waterfront master plan so you know what one of you is getting yourself into. So first, again, the city received a $750,000 local planning assistance grant from the California Coastal Commission to update the city's waterfront master plan. The waterfront master plan hasn't been updated since it was first adopted in 1996. It's part of the city's local coastal program. The waterfront master plan is essentially a vision for land use, circulation, and infrastructure for the city's waterfront along the Embarcadero. The current waterfront master plan extends from Tidelands Park north to Morro Rock. The updated plan will extend further across Little Morro Creek and include the former wastewater treatment plant site. Now I'm going to go over just a list of some of the core components that will be included in the waterfront master plan update. So one, it'll include a vision and goals for future development, land use, and circulation on the Embarcadero, an updated sea level rise analysis, vulnerability assessment, and adaptation plan, a plaza plan and parking relocation plan for redeveloping streets and parking lots on the west side of the Embarcadero into public plazas as envisioned and required by the city's general plan currently. It will include master planning of the former wastewater treatment plant site and the decommissioned power plant property, which also are currently identified as policies in the city's general plan. Next, it will include an identification of public facilities, infrastructure, and spaces that are needed to support the working waterfront, commercial fishing industry, and the harbor. And finally, it will include a consideration of waterfront infrastructure of offshore wind development. So those are the core basic components of the waterfront master plan update. Once the WAMPAC is selected and has its first meeting, one of the first items we're going to address with the WAMPAC is to review that scope of work and determine what additional items we want to add or amend or delete, although some of these items have to be included because they're either part of the Coastal Commission grant or specifically called out in the general plan. But the point is, the WAMPAC will have an opportunity to help craft the final scope of work that the consultant will assist us on. So this past Tuesday, January 14th, the council approved the formation of the WAMPAC. And the purpose of the WAMPAC is to provide stakeholder input and policy direction during the development of the waterfront master plan. Just to be clear, the City Planning Commission still will hold hearings on the waterfront master plan once it gets to that point and will make the formal recommendation to the City Council. But the WAMPAC is going to work with staff and the consultant and the public to get the waterfront master plan to the point where it's ready for Planning Commission review. The approved formation by City Council on Tuesday for the WAMPAC is that it will include 7 members, one from each of the city's 5 advisory bodies and commissions, one appointee from the Embarcadero Master Leaseholders, and one appointee from an environmental group. To give you an idea of the time commitment and what you're getting yourself into, WAMPAC will meet monthly. There could be a couple months where we ask you to meet more frequently. And my current estimate of the time commitment is about 8 to 12 hours per month. And we're looking at a 2-year time frame. So it's a pretty significant time commitment. So thank you in advance for whoever is willing to take on this assignment. And with that, we'll let the commission deliberate.
Thank you so much. And I know that this is true, but I just want it said that we're going up to the sewer plant, but not to Lila Kaiser. Is that right? Because we're coming around the corner to the sewer plant. The sewer plant's actually on Atascadero Road, but we're stopping there, right? We're not going to go into Lila Kaiser.
The plant's part of the waterfront.
Well, you need, if you're going to talk, you have to go ahead and say your question.
So that's part of the power plant property because we just lease that. Lila Kaiser. So wouldn't that fall under the power plant property?
So power plant property will be included in the scope for the waterfront master plan update. I think, questions about how far, inland do we go? I think those are the types of questions that we'll want the WAMPAC to help us scope out.
Okay.
Are you asking if it's going to affect the lease with Lila Kaiser?
No, I'm just asking if that's part of our planning. Like, do we get to have scope over that like we would over anything else along the Embarcadero?
Wow.
If that's a big continuous thing, or if Lila Kaiser's just Lila Kaiser and we don't worry about Lila. And Mr. Carmichael, do you have any comment about Lila, whether she should be included or not?
Well, I think at this time, Mr. Singwald is looking just for somebody to accept this position, and then that is part of the content of what the discussions will be. So
we don't need to worry about it.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about it. I'll withhold any comments
that
I might have right now.
Thank you for bringing me back in.
Yep. Mm.
Okay. So is anyone interested in doing this job?
Yeah, I'd like to nominate James Costanzo because I think he'd be a good fit.
Okay. Anyone else interested?
I second the nomination.
So did you push your button?
Yes. I second the nomination.
Okay, for Mr. Costanzo to be our representative?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Are we ready for a vote then? Okay.
I believe so.
Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. You can vote for yourself. Of course. Okay. Thank you. Then he will be our representative. May I say that I would expect you to keep us up to date, and that when they're asking for advice, maybe sometimes you'll have to ask our advice. I mean, just depend on what the topic is.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we appreciate that.
I'll report to the committee.
Yes, you'll be our liaison.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
If I may, Chairman Holtz, I just wanted to thank Mr. Costanzo for taking on this this big task and responsibility. And this is actually a pretty exciting milestone to have the very first member of the WOMPAC appointed. So I look forward to working with you and the rest of the group. So thank you very much.
Do we know when the first meeting is going to be, the date yet?
Don't have a date selected yet, but it's likely going to be end of February or early March.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Could I ask one other question? Will this be an open to the public meeting or not?
It is. It's a Brown Act open to the public meeting that will likely be held here at the Vets Hall.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Okay, that's very nice. Thanks for attending our meeting. Okay, then we will go back to our regular business items in the order in which they are presented. And we're beginning with aquatics.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We're going to do a staff switch of chairs and have Recreation Supervisor Ken Zink go ahead and deliver the aquatics program reports.
Thank you, commissioners. Get to my notes here. Okay, so first report I have is the aquatics summer session. Summer's great at the pool. We open up a lot of times for swimming lessons, and we also offer our summer experience program that's a partnership with the San Luis Coastal Unified School District. So we have a lot of folks that might not otherwise get an opportunity to go swimming and learn about water safety and get an introduction to some of the water sports like water polo. And so it's just a really great program where San Luis Coastal reimburses us for staff time. And so we're able to work a partnership that's great for both of us. Just want to note about the cost recovery for the summer is that you'll see it's a little bit below target, and that is essentially due to a lot of the summer revenue coming in before the summer starts, just based on people signing up for classes in the spring and purchasing passes that they will then use throughout the summer, and so that's just a note on the cost recovery there. Overall, it was a great summer at the pool, and happy to answer any questions the commission may have about the summer at the pool.
I'm just curious, where do you find all this information? Is it on the Morro Bay City website, or do you have a different site, or how do you come across all this information for the public?
Are you talking about the pool programs that are offered?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, we do. If you navigate to the Recreation Services page of the city website, there's an aquatics section there. But please check it out and see if there's any information that you can't locate on there and let us know, because that's something we want to be on top of.
Sure. I mean, is that the only place that we kind of advertise for these programs?
We also have the various social medias like Facebook and Instagram for the Morro Bay Recreation Services that you can find info on. We have a fair amount of followers. We got our social media manager over sitting a couple chairs down from me here. And, yeah.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, the information is also available at their office and in the community center. You can get hard copies of all these things we offer.
Yeah, and if you stand in the lobby of our community center, there's a rotating list of all the flyers and brochures for the upcoming programs.
All right, great. Great, good to know. Hope everybody takes advantage of those.
Yeah, we also will place ads in the Bay News, Estero Bay News, a few times a year for aquatics. And then you'll also see our aquatics flyer in the senior center. We've got it at Fitness Works, a few other locations that will pop up. But, yeah, mostly Bay News is the way to go, social media, or yes, right here, too.
Yeah, I've seen that, yeah. Thank you.
I believe last time when we had this list of items, we decided to approve and receive them all at the end. Is that still okay for today for y'all? And we'll just move on to the next aquatics program.
That's fine with us. Thank you.
Great. So this is the aquatics period that's more aligned with the fall season, and it goes back to the more regular year-round programming of lap swim and aqua aerobics, master swim in the morning, open Monday through Friday with lessons only on Sundays. And so you'll see our cost recovery was more aligned with what our target cost recovery is for the fall, kind of balancing out what the summer was. And business rolls right along at the pool.
Very good. Any comments or questions? Okay, then we'll move along to after aquatics comes the floating pumpkin patch.
Great. Another successful year of our annual floating pumpkin patch. Got a lot of the pumpkins donated from local grocery stores. Some of them happen to be locally grown, which is always something we want to support the local farmers. It was good weather out there. We have a top-notch team of lifeguards that could do face painting even. So we offer some face painting, and folks get to swim in the pool and select a pumpkin right there that they get to take home. And we found it's just a great seasonal fall event. So happy to answer any questions the commission may have about the floating pumpkin patch.
Is it aimed maybe mostly at younger people, or is it for all ages?
It's for all ages, but you do see more families because it's one of the times when we open up for a rec swim, mm-hmm. which is where, typically that pool is just primarily lap swim. And, mm-hmm. and so they keep like three lanes open for folks that do want to lap swim. So so that we don't, disclude the folks that do usually swim at that time for their lap swimming. But the attendance is primarily people with families, young children, that are excited to be out there with the pumpkins in the water.
This question is kind of tangential to that because it's related to all our programs, I think. But could you remind me, does the school, Delmore Elementary, let us advertise through their PTA or not? I can't remember.
The school has gone away from doing any printable flyers. So gone are the days where we used to tuck them in the backpacks and they'd be in there for weeks. Certain things we are allowed to put on their parent square is what they use. But there are really only things that are like offering care when they don't have care, when they have no school. So basically our holiday events, our holiday camps. But other things, we are more than welcome to put them on the San Luis Coastal Community Events flyer or a site, which we do. And then we do have a classroom on site that we offer our before and after school program. And through that, which we have, I think it's 85 students registered right now, we are able to put our flyers there for all of our families. Along with that, I give a weekly email to every parent. Every Friday, they get a little update email from me where I am sending those emails to, or the flyers as well. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where we get to touch it, but we don't, the school, again, has gone away from doing any sort of advertising of other events because there are so many out there now. It's kind of hard for them to justify who they're sending, which ones they're sending and which ones they're not. But again, more than welcome to do it on their community site, which we do. And then we just use our like ways that we know where children. Also, Ken has a couple email groups from different sports, and so we send those out to them as well. Mm-hmm. So for each sport, like soccer, basketball, flag football, and those. So the families get a lot of emails from us.
Thank you for that information. Any questions about the pumpkins floating?
None here.
Okay. Shall we move on to soccer?
Great. Yeah, so this was the first, just on a personal note, this is the first soccer season I've missed in about 15 years because I was out due to paternity leave. So that one was tough for me because I do love our soccer. So there was a slight decrease in participation this year. I think we failed to get 100 players for the first time in a couple years. And so I think I wouldn't be fully truthful if I didn't say I was concerned about the lack of participation in our soccer league. What we are finding is that the South Bay, our neighboring soccer league that's based out of Los Osos, has a much larger player pool and seems to have the volunteerism in place to have a well-established all-star program. So as we do see probably similar numbers for the younger age groups, like you're under 6 and you're under 8, as the players get older and they start to attend middle school in Los Osos and want to play in a more competitive setting, we have found that a lot of the players have signed up with the South Bay Soccer Association. I know that their president is relinquishing her position, and there will be a new president that is starting for the upcoming soccer season. And so I think a partnership with South Bay could be extremely beneficial to both organizations. They're a volunteer-run organization. In my experience, there are a lot of the things that we do that volunteers may not necessarily want to do with registration and organizing uniforms and referees. So I think the direction that we need to move is to really try to see if we can establish some kind of partnership with South Bay and explore what that may look like for the upcoming soccer season. Having that said, happy to answer questions from the commission.
Drew?
So do we advertise for volunteers?
We do, yes. Okay. Yeah, it's big and bold on the sign-up, on the flyer, that coaches are needed. And, for whatever reason, it seems South Bay just has more volunteers than we've been able to get historically. I know in talks with the previous supervisor, I think it was a pretty similar thing.
Okay. And we still have a lifeguard shortage? I know there's been a lifeguard shortage in the whole county.
Yeah, we do a good job of getting lifeguards. I would say that, probably referees and officials are a little bit more difficult for us to hire on and retain. Lifeguards, yeah, we seem to do pretty well with lifeguards. Yeah.
Okay.
I know there's a national shortage, though. I think you're on...
Yeah.
On target with that.
Thank you.
I just have two questions. One, it sounds like you will take the initiative to meet with the new person at South Bay and see if we can have some kind of commonality. Is that true?
That is correct. Yeah, and the time, you know, even though it's basketball season and there's a few other seasons stuck in the middle before the next soccer season, it's going to be here before we know it. And registration typically starts towards the end of May. So we'll aim to have that discussion in the coming months.
Okay. And then my second question is, just to distinguish between volunteers and referees and officials, referees and officials we pay, is that right? And volunteers help with the teams?
That is correct, yeah. Referees and officials are paid positions for the city. They're also paid in South Bay as well. Mm-hmm. Coaches, however, are purely volunteers. Typically, it's parents that, you know, get that email that their kid's been placed on a team that doesn't have a coach that has to step up and volunteer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, additionally, like, South Bay has a board of volunteers that help operate the All-Star program, which is different in nature than recreational, because recreational is the everybody plays model. Mm-hmm. Through the Cal South Soccer Association, which all of our players are registered in Morro Bay and in South Bay, the players are then able to try out for an All-Star team that gets formed that's more competitive, that will go out and play in tournaments. Mm-hmm. And that starts at the under 10 level, which, as I mentioned, is where we start to see some of our numbers dwindle as players move to, you know, aim to play in a more competitive setting after the recreational season's over.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And maybe people listening will help to volunteer more and or look at the referee and officials' positions. Thank you. Anything else?
Yeah. One more question for you.
Go ahead, please.
Is it the season happens once per year in the fall, so the timeline to kind of figure it out would be for next fall's season? Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
My question, are they open to that, to a collaboration between us and the South Bay League?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good. No,
I had definitely been mentioning it to the outgoing president and let her know some of my ideas. So I'm trying to plant the seeds for our partnership.
Great. Good idea. Thank you.
Thank you for taking the initiative. So we're going to move on to adult softball.
All right. As most of my adult softball reports, our adult softball league has rounded into a routine with four teams that are a huge fan of our Monday night games at Lila Kaiser. Met the target with the cost recovery and had a four-team playoff at the end of the season, and the teams that kept winning were crowned champion. And it's the Bats and Mitts, so if anybody out there does not have a softball team, we need a team to challenge the Bats and Mitts. I'm just going to throw that out there. They keep winning every season. Happy to answer any questions from the commission.
Anything else? Yeah. I see that there is a question in the audience, but are public comments closed? I'm not sure if what you want to say is related specifically to one of our sports.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We've had the discussion on pickleball. Yeah, I'm sorry, you did. Okay.
But we are going to agendize that, so if you come to the next meeting, that'd be good.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Stepping out a little bit. So that was holiday tree lighting.
Okay, that's me. So our 2024 holiday tree lighting was hosted the first Friday of December. We had the honor of Mayor Wixom being our MC, and I know I did see Drew out there supporting us as well and enjoying some cookies and cider. It was a great event. We had the children's group from Kids Club Children's Center. They performed two holiday songs, as well as the Morro Bay High School's Dance Fusion team, which was a new thing we did, but I thought that was really fun. They came out and did two performances, so that was great. I like to have a different variety of age groups. So, and then Santa made it to the park with the trolley. He did his reading and had his time with the kids, and they got to tell him all the things they wanted. I'd say we had, and if you have saw our tree at all during December, it did grow. So it is a little bit bigger, and then with the help of the Public Works team, with the vision of a few of them, like, create this kind of pillars to, and then light it up and make it look bigger than it was and full of lights. We are already in discussion of how we'll light it next year because we'll need bigger poles. So we're already working on that part. I'd say we had about 100 participants. Sometimes December events are hard to handle because there's so many events that in those same days. So that December event, we were also competing with the San Luis Christmas parade, which is kind of the thing we always have to compete with. They have it on the same date. But it was a very low-costing event because I had donations of cookies from the Senior Center, and they came through with a large amount. And then we just kind of recycle all the things we use every time. I don't have to purchase much for this one. So I think the cost was just for the apple cider mix for me to make that. And then I did want to talk about a couple things, and one was a cost as well. So if you read my recommendations, you might see that we had a larger cost, but I want to explain that. And that's number 6. We did spend a little over $500 on signage, and this kind of will help you, Commissioner Winholtz, to know this. We, this year, with my team, adopted a sign kind of program that we're doing. So if you see in the City Park, we always have banners out there. Mm-hmm. So this year we made one that has half tree lighting, half breakfast with Santa, and it just says the first Friday in December, the first Saturday. So we'll be able to use that for years on, which will be great. We also made smaller versions of those signs, more in like a yard sign, where we could put them up at our childcare centers, at any of our sporting events, in front of the community center. I believe we had one maybe in front of City Hall. So we were able to put them at the pool, had one as well. So anywhere where any of our participants of programs go, we are able to advertise that. And again, it was about a little over $500, but it was something that we'll be able to use for a while. We did that with our Halloween events too. So that's why I wanted to mention that for the floating pumpkin patch, we did some of those as well. So it says trick or treat floating pumpkin patch, and we're able to put those out and use them for years on, because we've kind of stuck with the same dates for everything. Mm-hmm.
I think that's very creative and great advertising.
Right, yeah. And then, I mean, really, the other recommendations is to continue to do it on the first weekend in December. I know we compete with other events, but I like to just have it as our kickoff of holidays. It's also the same weekend as Lighted Boat Parade, so we'll continue to do that. We'll continue to ask the same groups to come out and participate. Sometimes other, like the choirs at Morbay High School, they'll have something else, or the instructor teaches at both Lissessus Middle School and Morbay High School, so sometimes she is torn between different places or things that they have to do, but we'll just kind of keep trying on that. And then, like I said, I'm already working with Public Works to figure out how we'll be lighting it again next year. Any questions or comments?
I'd like to say it was a wonderful event, and I'd also like to thank the city staff and the maintenance guys. They did a great job, and we appreciate them.
And I would add that I like the comment about intergenerational activities at that event, and there are a number of adult retired choirs in the community that maybe we could get another choir present. So we've got the little guys, the teenagers, and then the adults.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, and if you need some contact, I'll...
Yeah, if you have any names or information, please send it my way. I would love to have that. We've had the ukuleles a few years. Mm-hmm. This year they had something else going on, so they weren't able to make it. But yes, please send those my way.
Okay, thank you. We're all good with that? Okay, so we're moving on to Santa's breakfast in the same vein.
Yes. That's mine as well. It was hosted here, our 6th annual, hosted here at the Vets Hall. It was, I don't know if any of you were able to make it, but my staff turns this whole place into a winter wonderland. Like, I'm talking giant lights and snowflakes hanging and signs that say, you know, all these magical things, cookie decorating and gingerbread house making. So it was a great event. We sold 138 tickets.
Oh, good.
And our cost stays very consistent because we have a lot of volunteers. So Kiwanis comes out and does all the cooking and serving. This year they brought, they have a very booming and growing key club at the Morbay High School now. And they brought, I think I put it in here, well over 10 volunteers, so high school volunteers who just came out here and they loved it. They were able to do crafts with the kids and make gingerbread houses, and they served the food, and all we have to do is feed them some pancakes, so they're happy. Yeah. The cost was higher, because of just the cost of food. It's more now, but I feel like we were able to keep it the entire event's cost down because of our volunteers. Mm-hmm. Then I didn't have to have as many staff members here. So I really only had a couple key players who helped kind of make it all run because we had those volunteers. So mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yeah.
Do you post those pictures anywhere since it's a one-time event and most of the community doesn't get to see the Winter Wonderland?
We don't, but I know there was talk that we'd like to start like doing that, showing the pictures before our events come on to show them what it looks like. Mm-hmm. But I do put it in the city manager's report. We always have a nice photo collage in that. And then our Facebook pages, we'll throw some in there, and our Instagram pages. And then I know for the State of the City, we'll be putting some pictures in there. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any questions or comments?
I wonder, have you ever contact like KSBY and tell them what's going on? Because I know they come down here on occasion.
Yeah, they weren't able to make it this one. Again, we were battling with so many other events, and they had something else to go. But KSBY usually does come down, interviews a couple kiddos, and gets some pictures. So
okay.
Yeah, I know. They were not able to. We have a person who's assigned to this area, and she just got back to me that a couple days before and couldn't make it.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. And then I also wanted to talk about another advertising thing that mm-hmm. Kirk mentioned, but it's about our Estero Bay News newsletter. So what we're trying to move towards is once a month making this newsletter. It's actually it will be in today's the news that came out today, and it has all of our upcoming events. So we'll put a bunch. So we usually can fit like 6 or 7 of our little mini flyers on there with just some basic information on that and scan codes to get them to our website to do all their sign up or more information.
Great.
Very good.
Okay. I would entertain a motion to approve items C1 through C7.
I make a motion that we approve items C1 through C7.
Okay.
Is I'll second that.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Thank you. C8, which I believe is our last item on the agenda. It's a little difference about the adopt a park or adopt something in Morro Bay. And it's a policy, I guess you would call it, that the city council adopted based on PWEB's recommendation. And Mr. Carmichael will probably correct me.
Well, I don't know if I'll correct you, Madam Chair, but what you do have is the existing Adopt Morro Bay program policy in your agenda packet here. The request at our last meeting to agendize this was for the commission to review mm-hmm. and make comments as we feel needed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have information as far as when it was adopted. By City Council, I could say this Adopt Morro Bay program policy happened, I believe, within the last 8 years. I'd say,
maybe even last 8 months. Yeah,
a few years ago. I know.
Okay.
We have in the past had a very robust Adopt a Park program. With I believe 12 agreements with various organizations and throughout the community who adopted various parks and did provide basic cleanup and maintenance of those parks. This policy has changed, and it's not necessarily just adopt a park for maintenance purposes. It's adopt pretty much anything you could from, I believe, benches, trash, public trash, recycling containers, et cetera. Or maybe I'm reading this wrong.
No, I think you're right.
Yeah. Anyway, here's the policy for your review and comments.
Is there any way to get it on the TV, or we don't have it on your computer to put it up?
We still don't have an overhead.
I know.
Darn it.
Which is one of my complaints.
That's why I said that. I don't think we can. I did not come prepared for that, to put that on the computer screen here.
Then maybe we'll just read them out loud. Is that okay?
That's certainly fine. I would go ahead and turn that back over to the commission for your discussion. However you'd like to go forward with it, it's fine.
Okay. Because I hate talking about something in front of the public without them knowing what it is.
Yes.
So thank you and for the background. And so I believe this was something that, as you can see from the title, it came from the Public Works Department, went to the City Council for their approval. I'll just read the program details, which says residents, merchants, or community group volunteers, they can volunteer their time to maintain and provide upkeep to the adopted area. Adopters can work on a variety of projects the city identifies, including but not limited to planting, mulching, watering trees, maintaining flower beds, weed removal, planting and maintenance of landscaped areas, litter collection, and visual inspection of public trash, recycling containers, and benches for damage or vandalism. Kind of a catch-all. So how the program works has 9 steps. 1, the city develops a list of these public areas, and I don't believe they sent us a list of those areas. So maybe that's something we can get PWAB to share at their next meeting. 2, adoptions are on a 1 or multi-year basis, with the adoption to renew if the city and adopter want to continue the relationship. 3, the resident, merchant, or community group submits a plan or an application to the city. 4, the city will review applications and approvals or reject these requests. I'm assuming, and it doesn't say to whom or within the city who does that rejection. Is that going to be the Public Works Director?
Most likely, or somebody within their office.
Okay, so it'll be a staff person that does that, not like PWAB.
I'm not 100% familiar with this policy and
either
their operations at Public Works.
Okay. 5, the city and adopter enter into an agreement that outlines the scope of work for the public area, delineating duties and the schedule of activities, as well as the frequency with when they will be performed, and a process of reporting injuries, if there should be any, and a process for reimbursement of pre-authorized expenses for supplies provided by the adopter. That's something I've raised concern about in the past at city council meetings, because I think if a group is volunteering, they should also volunteer the money. But that's just me. So I'll just slide that in there. Okay, 6, city will monitor the adopted area to make sure that the adopted group is doing their job. 7, the city will schedule periodic meetings to identify further needs. 8, a recognition sign will be placed in the adopted area to give this group or person recognition. And finally, the city will hold a call for projects each January and July. So this was not on the city council agenda last Tuesday. Maybe it will come to them on their last meeting in January. And PWEB did not meet this month, if they're handling it through that. It looks like January and July, and applicants would be presented to the Public Works Board, as at February and August. So there's a little catch-up time that will need to be done there. It provides, and that's redundant. Okay, So those are the rules. I don't know if anyone had any reaction to any of that besides myself.
Well, I think we need a list.
Can't hear you.
Sorry. I think we need to have, you know, the public needs to know what are these areas since they're going to be identified. And then you need to find out about this some way, I guess, at the next council meeting, maybe. I'm just trying to picture how it's going to get the word out there.
Yeah. So would I think those are both good suggestions. I don't know if we want to, well, we can't really recommend our parks. It's already known who our parks are and whether or not they're already being monitored by one of these groups.
Well, for instance, excuse me, Cloisters Park. Mm-hmm. Someone from that area had wanted to establish a group to do weeding and upkeep there. Mm-hmm. So that was at one of our meetings. They asked for that. So I know there's some interest in the community. It's just, it's kind of a new idea, I think, for at least to me it is.
Yeah. I maybe we would want to recommend back to the Public Works Department, since they're handling this, and or PWAB, that they do some kind of reach out through the city council meetings, as well as maybe all the advisory boards, because all of us, I mean, Harbor would be involved as well with their little mini parks down on the Embarcadero, as well as our parks, the big parks. Where else would they be?
They could advertise in the Estero Bay News so the businesses would know that we're looking for this cooperation.
Okay. So maybe we would encourage Public Works, either through their staff or through their board, to pump up some advertising in some form. Is that something that I'm hearing from the committee?
Yeah, so yes. That's a good idea. Commission? I think there will be some interest in that. You know.
Okay.
We have other groups in town anyway that are doing that. They've taken over portions of, you know, some of the streets.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'd be a good program.
Okay. I'd love to see the commission adopt something.
Can we do that?
Drew, didn't you?
We could take that under consideration.
We could take that under consideration. Does that mean we might have to make it a future agenda item? Okay.
It sounds like there's an underlying question. So it sounds like the policy has been adopted by the city council, correct?
Correct.
And so then the underlying question that I think a couple of us have is, it sounds like next step would be to implement said policy, and we're not quite sure where it is in that process.
I believe it's been implemented, and I don't know how many parks or things have been adopted.
Okay.
I didn't get that information. The intent of this agenda item was to review the policy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I didn't come forward with anything beyond that. They very well might have a robust marketing program for this that I'm unaware of. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I guess it's on the city website, too, right? So somebody would know what the rules are if they're interested?
Yes.
All right. So we just have to get the word out.
Okay. And maybe you would convey our conversation to your cohort at Public Works.
One more question. There must be some kind of form. Is that what I'm reading in this?
A form?
Well, there's rules. Yeah, there's rules and regulations.
Talk about a form.
Yeah.
Like a piece of paper application.
Yeah, to make it your application.
Yeah, I would think if anybody was interested, they would reach out to our Public Works Department, who manages the parks, and start the conversation there.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Thank you for bringing this information to us, at least beginning our education about it, and see if we can't participate ourselves. Okay, I think that brings us, do you need for this also to be received and filed?
No, this was a review and discuss. I'm happy to forward the outreach through the city council meetings and other advisory boards, and then also possible Estero Bay News advertising. I'll forward our comments to the city manager and go from there.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Of course. Yes. Thank you.
Okay, I think that brings us to the end of our agenda, which is now future agenda items. Does anyone have something they'd like to see on the agenda for next? Now, just to remind the public, we don't meet every month. We meet every other month. So our next meeting will be in March. Part of why we needed to do that emergency ordinance tonight, or motion. So we'll meet the third Thursday of March.
Correct.
And so what would we like to see on that agenda? Mr. Costanzo?
Pickleball.
Pickleball?
The pickleball courts. I think we can agendize that.
Is anything more in particular, or narrow it, or just?
Yeah, to discuss where they could put that and how they can go about increasing their.
How about if they should even do it?
We can.
Because you're making the assumption.
Way. Yeah.
Identify the need.
Yes.
Yes.
And one of the areas that they want us to consider is what they call the amphitheater at Del Mar. Mm. Could we see how many times we've rented it in the last 2 years? Because if it's an underutilized space, that'd make it more viable.
It's
change it from what it is to something else.
Yeah, it hasn't been rented in the 8 years that I've been employed.
Oh, okay, because I saw it rented once or twice, but that's been a long time ago.
Yeah, I've never.
Okay, seen. So it's an okay. Yeah, so it's under. We can identify that as an underutilized space that could be under consideration.
So. To clarify, are we wanting to hear from the public? Are we wanting staff to bring us back some information about possible areas? Are we wanting them to even talk about the feasibility, where the money would come from? Because certainly the public comment tonight was, we'll maintain it, but we will not build it.
No, I believe they won't build.
They won't build the basketball court, is what I was under the assumption.
Well, they want to utilize the basketball court if that's a viable option.
They want it moved, but they don't want to pay to move the basketball court, but they'll pay to
convert the basketball court to a pickleball.
Yes, okay. To make it a bigger space for them. So the feasibility, I think, is a good question. We could
correct.
Start there and build on that and then find out where. You know, if it's feasible to move that basketball court.
Or correct. And then ask the council with all the other things on their plate and all the other projects if that's something they can consider or give us at least a basic timeline. I mean, I could see it could be several years. They've got an entire city to maintain.
Yeah, well, we're not in a rush. We got to get the ball going.
No, right. We've got to get the ball rolling.
I believe this is a quality of life, too.
Correct.
Issue
correct.
As well.
Yeah, identify the need, and then, right, find a space for it and work forward.
Yeah. Mr. Carmichael, this is my ignorance. Is pickleball under the seniors, or is it an independent organization?
So the pickleball courts themselves are a park amenity that anybody can use. I have an agreement with an MOU with the Morro Bay Senior Center Incorporated. For them to operate the courts Monday through Saturday from 9 to 12, and they operate, operation means provide paddles and balls for those who don't have them, some basic instruction, and then part of that is collecting the donations, and then also maintaining the courts so they'll blow them off with a park or blower or whatever you call those things. And then once a month they wash them down.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the agreement that I have with the seniors.
Okay.
Correct. And they also provide money for the maintenance.
Now the funds that they collect, the donation box that gets gathered up and held by Morro Bay Senior Center Incorporated,
yeah.
And then they will give up that money to offset the cost of the resurfacing.
Yes. Because they did pay to resurface it.
Yes.
Do I understand them, their input? They do have money for the building of the pickleball courts, did you?
Well, they have some money, and they will find funds once we...
agree to.
Yeah, GoFundMe and other venues. They're researching other ways to get the money, yes. But they do want to pay for the pickleball courts. Mm-hmm.
It's just the basketball, putting that somewhere else.
Correct.
And that, yeah.
If we want
if
that
in
to
fact
happen.
We need to relocate it, we need to somehow figure out if it's underutilized or not, to be fair to the public. So we'd love public to come comment on this.
Yeah. I think that's probably real important. Pickleball players as well as not pickleball players.
Correct.
Yeah. And I think we've gone a little beyond the scope of where we should be going tonight in terms of agendizing this, but I'm not sure how else to give you parameters of what we're looking for.
Yeah, I think I would caution commission and not reach out for public to come out here and flood our meeting, letting us know that they're interested in pickleball. We're well aware of that. Mm-hmm. I've been working with the folks that spoke at the public comment today for six, seven years now. I started work with them back then, have asked numerous times for some information, and I suggested doing some kind of a study of basketball court use, pickleball court use, who's using it, you know, at what times, so really taking a snapshot of not just, you know, one day, but throughout the year. As it was mentioned by Mr. Robb, who did speak at the public comment period, is we do get a number of folks from around the county and outside of the area. That is true. I think our challenge would be to move forward with city tax dollars funding a park amenity like this for tourists. Mm-hmm. So it's really not, you know, a large part of the play there again is from folks who don't live here. And the one gentleman did speak and said, you know, that folks do come here and get hotel rooms and spend, you know, money here eating and whatnot. And that is true with those folks coming from Canada or whatnot. It's not true from those who are escaping the heat of Atascadero and Paso to come over here and play. So they might fill their gas tank if they have to. Most of the time it's just, you know, come over and play and then leave. So these are some of the questions that I had posed 7 or so years ago. We haven't been, or I've never received any kind of stats or anything like that. But since, let's see, probably pre-COVID, the requests stopped coming to my office and this commission, and they moved to the Public Works Advisory Board and are pitching the same request there too. So there's a lot of push for pickleball, but there's no no metrics, no stats, nothing that we can help to make an educated decision on as to whether or not we're going to go forward. Mm-hmm. So, I, you know, I'm happy to place this on the agenda so we can have, you know, general conversation about it again. I'm looking for clarification though. Is this you know, I can agendize. Does this mean the commission's going to go out and look for, you know, viable locations to where we can place this and then have that conversation? Or I'm not 100% clear on, you know.
I agree with you. And maybe where we need to start is a square one. Mm-hmm. First, is it even, is it what we want? Mm-hmm. Is it feasible with what we want?
Yes.
So maybe we need to just, on the agenda item, talk about those philosophical things, mm-hmm. or policy things, or so we can make a recommendation. Obviously, it won't be ours, but the council's.
Yes. So I can put a staff report together with just that basic framework of we're going to have a conversation, mm-hmm. see where that goes. Does that make sense?
And if you would include a background with what you do know about the history, mm-hmm. because obviously, yeah. one of us is pretty knowledgeable, or two of us, but the rest of us have no history.
I can do that.
Yes, so we would like to clarify the metrics. I think what I meant was we hadn't heard from any basketball players.
No.
So what's their need?
Right.
And like you said, we need the metrics. If it's really underutilized like the old roller rink was, mm-hmm. it makes it more viable. Mm-hmm. And again, I guess it's up to city council to determine that, yeah, a lot of people from local, a lot of people come and play here, and it doesn't bring revenue, but it is an amenity, and a lot of people do play that do stay here, that camp here, and whatever.
Right.
Yeah, and balancing out what are we doing for the seniors, you know, they like it.
Yeah.
we need to look after them because I am senior.
Yes.
Thank you.
Me too.
Well, I will just say I see young people out there too, so it's...
I'm one of them.
All right. There you go.
I'm not a senior, and I play pickleball. And I play
Okay. There was one other thing I wanted to put on the agenda, and I'm not remembering it.
Oh, well,
so, there you go.
I have one.
Oh, Miss.
One suggestion.
Sure,
maybe.
What's your suggestion?
This has been on the agenda. It was on our... We had a Cloisters Park request by Public Works of us to give them, and maybe before your time, but it was in regard to Cloisters Park, and there was concern, did we want to get rid of grass, lawn? Did we want to plant trees? And we had some community from Cloisters here expressing some concerns about the park. So we had talked about, you know, we needing maybe more input, more information in regard to that. Maybe an outing where we could, as a group, take a look. There's a gentleman who lives in that area who has some ideas, too, as far as the landscaping or the maintenance. So anyway, I guess what I'm... wanting it on the in the future to address that to the Public Works and then to that Cloisters community, the direct community.
Didn't I see that on a, it was before my time,
it was.
I saw it on an
July.
Agenda. It was
it
agendized,
was
yes.
It was agendized, but we didn't.
We haven't done
we
it.
We didn't progress to do it.
I see.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Well, I think part of... My issue with that is the Cloisters are supposed to be paying for the maintenance of that park. And so if they wanted more trees, they'd, it might have to, it might affect what their cost is. And we didn't get a whole lot of public input from the Cloisters people. We did get some. But to make changes to it and then do the extra maintenance of trees, they're saying get rid of some grass and add trees, but the trees will take quite
a bit
of maintenance. So I don't know if we're really saving any money, if that's...
Exactly.
A false economy. But it might be something we approach Public Works with, you know, if they could just ballpark the prices and they want to pay for the trees and the removal of the grass, and we save a little water, you know, it might work out. But then again, it may not.
And they were wanting recommendation or our ideas on it is when they came to, when Public Works came to us.
And we did give them our recommendation. So the item that we brought to the commission was voted on and resolved. So they took away what they needed to with that item.
I read in the minutes, we did not give them any recommendation. So can you refresh me on that?
I think it's similar to what Mr. Sedaris was. Excuse me. was saying that we looked at the balance of whether or not it was worth it financially, and at that point said we don't have enough information, so we're saying no. Is that anyone else's memory?
I believe that's what we said, yes.
But if there's...
Then it needs to reflect in the minutes, maybe, because it's saying we didn't make any comment to them. And maybe those were things we talked about after they left.
This one? Okay. Oops. Yeah, it's actually a rather more complicated situation.
Right,
because of the money that they pay, I don't think covers the maintenance that we're already doing because times have changed, and I don't think it was built into their contract to raise the rates as the costs of maintenance goes up. So it's also, you know, a facilities issue that they need to be involved in.
You know, it has gone up, and they do review that.
Oh, it has gone up?
No, their fee hasn't gone up.
But they've been talked about, the council's already addressed that, I think.
Oh, they have,
okay.
They didn't tell me.
Because they were, don't you remember a few years back, where they all came and said, we're tired of having to pay all this? That they didn't feel like the amount of money and the maintenance being done equaled out, if I remember right. But it has become an, it's been a few years, but that's been in front of the council before.
Well, the facilities could easily show them that it, what the cost is compared to what the income is from that.
They have, and the city's been generous on funding some of that.
Yeah, we cover what they don't.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, we're already subsidizing.
So that's what I'm saying, spend in front of the council. And that's
right.
What we've chosen.
Okay. We're subsidizing a park that shouldn't need our subsidy doing that.
Yeah.
So, again, we're pushing the envelope of whether we should be talking about this much. Because it's not agendized.
Okay.
And so, are we wanting, well, are you asking to bring that conversation back?
I didn't realize
you said that they have what they needed. I wasn't at that meeting where it was discussed, but it sounds like no one's waiting on
with regards to the item that we brought to the commission. It was trees versus grass, and we had that conversation. I believe the maintenance superintendent left with the information that he needed with regards to the item that we brought forward. Okay. There was further discussion that Commissioner Swall had and then some others who did phone in and talk, or maybe they were here, I don't recall.
They were here.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And it was specific to what types of flowers are planted and things like that? Or
They had a lot of different, weeds.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's an item that we would agendize to talk about, you know, the weeds and such.
That here. Might be that we would recommend to them that they become adopt-a-park people.
Absolutely.
And refer them to that.
Yeah.
And one of the residents wanted that. She asked for that.
Yes.
At that time.
And maybe she's reached out to the Public Works office since. I'm not sure.
I don't know. I hadn't had a chance to see the minutes, and when I read it, it said we hadn't made any comment to Public Works, and so I didn't know they had an idea of what we had.
Was that in our July meeting, do you recall it?
Yes.
Well, what?
Yeah. Maybe that needs to be amended.
Well, what I understood is what I had just explained, so I'm...
Right, well, and I'm just going... It took a while before we had minutes, and they did come up this time, and I reviewed them, and that's what I... My conclusion of the minutes, that they were not given any kind of comment.
We've never did that.
That's a financial thing and not a parks.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think that was part of our conversation, too, that we're... Sorry to have two conversations at once. It was recommended that a field trip to Cloisters Park to walk the park, and along with not just us but with Public Works and Maintenance, we've never done that.
Correct.
So it's hanging out there, I guess, if we want to bring it back on, do something with it. That's what it appears that the minutes reflect.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But I think it also reflects what you said. The minutes don't reflect that yes, I think we gave the Public Works, was it Mr. Mendoza, the impression that we didn't see the value of it at this point.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Whether or not it's my place to direct the Public Works staff to take a walk of the park to discuss maintenance techniques and horticulture and such, I don't think that's
right.
Our place or my place.
Right.
I would imagine, though, that a pointed email to the park or the maintenance superintendent with your suggestions as individuals or as a Cloisters community, I would certainly imagine he would entertain your suggestions, recommendations. Mm-hmm. We're always able and willing to take phone calls and emails and whatnot. So that's a route we could take.
Mm-hmm. And I think individually we can get back to the people that spoke because we know who they are and suggest that they adopt a park.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mr. Costanzo looks like he's ready to leave. Have we dragged this meeting out?
Yes.
Okay. So the only future agenda item is the pickleball at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And acknowledging that maybe we have previously agendized some kind of field trip, but that we'll talk about when that might be appropriate.
Okay.
Yeah.
As an agendized item?
Well, it was agendized back in July. We've just never done it.
Okay. Well, yeah. We used to always do an annual park tour, pick a few parks and go with some of the other departments and
yes,
and look at them.
And the direction given to me by the public works director was that they are no longer going to do that.
Okay.
So
okay.
We can take a ride around and look at parks, or folks can take a look at the parks and...
Well, if we can identify some parks that might need some improvement or something, we could go, or we could go as individuals. I go to the parks as an individual, mm-hmm. and I find that the facilities is doing a really, really good job. Mm-hmm. So it's really hard to, there's nothing, you know, it'd be nitpicking at this point, because they're there every day, mm-hmm. and they're doing a really good job.
So parks tour.
Yeah, so parks tour would be nice.
Okay.
It could be an extra meeting so as not to take away from our other important business.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, pickleball in March, huh?
Yes.
Okay. We're good? Meeting's adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Drew, thank you for...